Well, happy Feast of Divine Mercy. I don't know if you know this, but this ends the octave of Easter. It's the last day, so we've been celebrating for 8 days. I've been celebrating for 8 days. I don't know if you guys have been. I've been having a great time. And I love how the church, you know, there's 40 days to Lent, so 40 days of penance. But then there's 50 days to Easter. So we get just a little bit more time to rejoice than we do to struggle with penance. And in today's Sunday is called Divine Mercy Sunday. And you have the image here in front of us. You know, John, in his second reading, says that Jesus came through water and through blood. And we remember very carefully when he was pierced in the side and water and blood flowed out. So too in the image, it's an image of his mercy, right? His merciful heart that sends forth the white rays and the red rays. The white rays is the water, right? Symbolizing baptism. The red rays is the blood, symbolizing the Eucharist, the two great sacraments of God's mercy to humanity. And I don't know what it is about this feast, but every year, for like the past 3 years, I've just really been drawn to the wounds. The wounds of Jesus. And I don't know if it's because of the gospel or if it's because I feel like Thomas sometimes, but those wounds are magnetic. And it's because they're healed. The wounds are healed. They're scars of the passion, but now they're trophies. And he carries them heroically. You know, I have a buddy who got, I brought him up before, but he got hit by a train. When we were in high school, we were a week away from graduation, and he was driving home. He lived out by Sterling, and as he came up over a hill, there were trees on the one side, and he couldn't see the train coming, and he was at 70 miles an hour, and the train was at 70 miles an hour, and they collided, and he was thrown from his SUV onto the ground. He has scars. He has more scars than anyone I know, and each scar has a story. He has a huge scar on his back in which they removed a muscle from his back and put it into his leg so that he could walk again. He has skin graft scars all over his body from where his flesh had been ripped off from the accident. He has scars on his legs from the fixators that drilled through his flesh into the bone to pull the bones apart so that they could heal so he could walk. And he has a scar on his stomach from the top of his chest all the way to his waist. From when they found him, and his insides were literally laying on the ground. And they had to put it back in and sew him up. Those scars, I'm sure, remind him daily of maybe the worst day of his life. Or maybe they remind him of the day when his life changed. They're marks of his will to survive, marks of the greatest battle he has been in and won, and marks of the war that still rages inside of him as he deals with pain every day that you and I can't even fathom. Or perhaps there are scars now that remind him that without those scars, he never would have met his beautiful wife. Or had his two little daughters that he loves so much. But there are other types of scars. You know, a couple weeks ago I was working out at the Y. You should be proud of me. I'm still working out. And there was a young woman beside me doing pull-ups. And I looked over, and on her thigh were hundreds of cut marks from a razor blade. Different types of scars. And every scar has a story, and it reminds us that it won't go away. Scars are with you for your whole life. They don't just disappear. And as I said, scars have a story. Jesus' scars stay with him for eternity. And as he carries his scars and we have stories, so does his. What is his story? What's the story behind the wounds that are healed? You know, the first thing that he does when he appears to his apostles is it says he shows them the wounds. As if to say, Look at what you did. Your sin caused this. Remember when you denied me. Remember when you left me in the garden. Remember when you said you would die for me and you wouldn't even stand by me at the cross. He doesn't say it to the apostles alone, he says it to all of us. And if that's all he did, man, that would be bad news. But he says something after he shows them the wounds. He says, peace be with you. It's okay. I forgive you. I still love you. And do you not know now that there is nothing that I will not forgive? By the way, it is no coincidence, you guys, that right at that moment, he institutes the sacrament of confession. It says he breathes on them and says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those sins you forgive are forgiven. Those sins you retain are retained. They are now missionaries of mercy, of which they've received. They're the first recipients of it. And now they understand there is no limit to it. And when I say there's no limit to divine mercy, I mean there is no limit. Human mercy, there's a limit. But not divine mercy. You know, last week I said at Easter that I was on this kind of rabbit hole of World War II videos and podcasts. And I've continued that in the octave. And I came across something that shocked me. Do any of you know, just by show of hands, who Rudolf Hess was? Can you tell me? He was the commandant of Auschwitz. Well done. I'm impressed. You're the first one to actually get it. I got people who are like, yeah, he was a Nazi. I'm like, come on. That's a generalization. But yes, he was the commandant of Auschwitz. You know, every time you think you discover the monster of the Third Reich, there's somebody worse. Oh, it's Hitler. No. No. Oh, it's Himmler. No. Eichmann. No. Mengele. No. What about Hess? Hess was responsible, you guys, and orchestrated the death of 2.5 million people at Auschwitz. During his reign of terror, he was also responsible for another 500,000 that died from disease and starvation. He was a wicked man. He routinely would make prisoners stand out in sub-zero temperatures naked for hours. He would beat them relentlessly for the smallest infraction. He was the man who was responsible for the death of St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Edith Stein. He enhanced and developed the gas chambers so they could hold more people and thus execute more human lives. He was quoted as saying, "It's a shame. We could have killed so many more people if we didn't have to wait so long for the bodies to burn." A stone cold killer. At one point, he sent the SS out to round up the Catholics. And they went to a Jesuit house of formation and took all the seminarians, all of the priest formators. The only person that didn't get arrested at that time was the rector, the one in charge of the seminary, because he wasn't there. When he came home, he realized what had happened. And this man may have been the only person in the history of World War II to willingly walk through the doors of a Nazi death camp. He couldn't live with himself knowing that his flock, his seminarians, his friends were in Auschwitz and he wasn't. So he walked up to the front doors of Auschwitz and said, "Take me." He was immediately taken to Hess, who they thought was going to execute him on sight. And for some unknown reason, Rudolf Hess looked at this priest and said, "Leave. And don't ever come back here." At the end of the war, Rudolf Hess escaped for a while, but was eventually arrested and brought back for trial. He was convicted, and it was determined that he would be hanged in a specially made gallows on the grounds of Auschwitz, where he had killed so many. You know, he said he wasn't afraid of being hanged. What he was afraid of is being in prison until he was hanged. He said, I was a soldier, and I figured that I was a master of torture. And if I was able to treat people mercilessly, that I would be treated the same. This man was a monster. He forever scarred the people of Poland. He scarred Europe. Think of the lives that he scarred, families and humanity itself, that would never go away. Rudolf Hess knew this, and those scars terrified him. And yet, to everyone, to his surprise, every one of the guards treated him with mercy. These men whose lives he had destroyed, it treated him with kindness, and it did something to his heart. And so he asked for one thing before he died. He asked if he could go to confession. That's right. This man who orchestrated the death of 3 million people, who murdered 3 million people, was a Catholic. The problem is, when you're responsible for killing all the priests in Poland, it becomes very difficult to find a priest to hear your confession. But Hess remembered one, and he asked for him. The one that he released that night. And they found this priest in Krakow in the Shrine of the Divine Mercy. He immediately went to the cell and heard the commandant's confession. And at the end of it, this priest raised his hands over this man. And he said this, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And this monster of the Holocaust became a son of God again. The next day, Rudolf Hess was brought Holy Communion, and it was said by those who watched that he received as if he was a little child. And then he was walked into Auschwitz and hanged for his war crimes. Divine mercy is limitless. Some of us here might even say, that's not fair. He didn't get what he deserved. He got off too easy. And that's true. But so do you. And so do I. Mercy is the love we don't deserve. Mercy is given at the moment when we deserve it the least, but need it the most. And it's what this world needs more than ever right now. If your heart was moved when you heard this story to say, that guy got off too easy, you have a darkness in your heart that needs to be healed. Because if Rudolf Hess can be forgiven, it means that there's hope for every one of us here. And so today on the Feast of Divine Mercy, let us remember that although human mercy has limits, divine mercy does not. And let Rudolf Hess be a testimony to the deep truth we celebrate today. And let us approach this altar of mercy on this solemn feast. And as Jesus showed his wounds at the resurrection, may we have the courage, as Hess did, in all our shame, to go to the confessional and show Jesus our wounds. And hear the words that Jesus said to his apostles and what that priest said to Rudolf Hess before he died. Your sins are forgiven. Be at peace. Then you and I will realize that there is nothing that is beyond the mercy of God. It is truly limitless.